Hello, everyone. Bruce Edwin here with Subnormal Magazine. I'm speaking with the legendary Adi Newton from Clock TVA. Clock TVA are innovators and just legendary in the scene. Adi, it's a pleasure to meet you here and to have your time. How are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm fine. Doing fine. Doing good.
Excellent.
I've been here since once, just been relaxing and doing a few bits and pieces, but we're all kind of ready for tonight. So.
Excellent. Now, you were just telling me off mic here that you're based in London or outside of London, is that right?
Yeah, just outside, in Southend, actually.
Excellent. I've listened to your music, Guy, for years. I know when some of your material was on, Cleopatra was reissuing or putting out some of your stuff, and before that even, I was listening to you, and music just all has blown my mind. I mean, the layers and complexity. What got you started? I'm sure you've repeated that many times, but...
What got me started on music? I was saying to the girl, actually, earlier when I was doing the interview earlier, I was saying my first sort of influences were really from very avant-garde electronics, you know, and jazz, really. I got into music really by accidentally, you know, by chance. But when because I'm a painter, really, I started painting when I was young, and I went to art college, and I was doing painting. I wasn't really sure. I mean, I like music, but it wasn't an interest, a prime interest. And it was only after myself and Martin Ware and Ian Craig Marsh from The Future, we had The Future, it began as The Future, doing electronic music, and then we sort of went into different, our separate ways. You know, I did the Clock DVA, and Martin and went on to do the BAF, and then the Heaven 17. So it started really in The Future, the very beginning, and I was mainly doing tapes and production kind of things and vocals and so on. So it came out of that. You know, I was using tape loops and processing tapes.
Yeah.
But it kind of worked, but my interests were more, I don't know, broader. I wanted to move into like acoustic sounds and stuff, you know, acousmatics and more experimental things, I guess. You know.
Yeah.
Harder kind of music as well, you know.
Yeah,
I like the Stooges and that era, like the 70s and the late 70s, it still had that kind of, you know, there was still that kind of raw edge of music, you know, which was good. I enjoyed that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, when I listen to your stuff, it's almost, your material, it's almost, I hate to use the word psychedelic, but there's that element to me like Hawkwind, you know, when I hear Hawkwind or, you know, Helios Creed.
Whenever you're ready, we have a better room.
Okay, brilliant. All right.
So
yeah, I mean, yeah, obviously, I mean, like Pink Floyd, all that sort of early Pink Floyd kind of things, you know. So yeah, there's an element of that sort of psychedelic.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the Stooges, you know, were psychedelic as well. I mean, you know,
yeah.
Aggressive sort of, you know, psychedelic experimental
stuff. Exactly. Right.
So even the Doors, you know, at times were pushing things further with like the sound poems and all that kind of stuff.
So we,
you know, Velvet Underground, we were, you know, big fans of Velvet Underground.
Yeah.
So, you know, John Cale's got that kind of avant-garde connection to Lamont Young and the early sort of Fluxus times and drone music and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, those influences are definitely there. German electronics.
Yeah.
Mobilius, Rodelius, you know.
Okay.
The After the Heat, and you know, all those kind of things. Eno's work with Rodelius, Mobilius, and all that stuff. So early Kraftwerk, you know, from Porsche, you know, from the very earliest experimental pieces. You know.
Very cool.
So they're the kind of, that's where I'm kind of coming from.
Exactly.
But I think you've got to carve out your own area as well. You've got to make your own kind of niche. You know, you've got to create a kind of, you know, a sound which is yours. You know?
Yeah, which you totally did. Did with the whole consciousness thing? I mean, I don't do anything now, but like, you know, I used to party a lot. Was that a factor in the creation of drugs or psychedelics?
I never used drugs for making music.
No.
Annabelle. We do. I mean, now I just do stuff. You know, that's how I normally work. I come to it with my own combination. This work, spontaneity, intuition, technical things, obviously. You know, you do technical processes of production, which is vital, really. You know, my interest is in the whole sound field anyway. You know, that's why I do the anti-group, because I can do more experimental pieces. I can work with things like ambisonics, you know, which I did with Digitaria, you know, back in the sort of early 80s, you know.
Yeah. Jack Danger, excuse me, you have coming up now, you're working with, you said.
Yeah, we did a project a couple of years ago, last time I was in San Francisco, I worked in Jack's lab there, Tape Lab. And we did a whole bunch of things, and we released it as a CD under the name of Soon, which is sort of Japanese for noise, cacophony, and various other things, you know. Also an implication of time, you know, being soon, you know, kind of almost at that moment, you know. So we're doing another album now, we've got like eight new pieces together. In rough, you know, in sort of draft form, and then we're going to work on those in the next week. So hopefully, we'll probably get an album finished. You know.
Exciting. Are you working with a label now? Forgive my.
I do my own. I mean, I'm still doing my own. After Brexit, it became impossible to sort of operate out of UK because of the import export tax. Yeah, I mean, sending things was so expensive as well, you know, people were paying the same price as what they paid for the postage, as for what they paid for the thing. So it became untenable, really. And so I'm working in partnership with an Italian company, Rizzofiera, who are a cultural company. They're sort of an arts-based program, really. They're really into the craft of things, you know, and making stuff, you know. And they're really dedicated to the actual thing itself, you know. So
nice. You've been going through, obviously, a lot. I don't know if you ever saw any of my old issues ages ago, Subnormal, but I typically ask that type of stuff, just politically, you know, all the taboo subjects, sex, politics, religion, etc. How has that affected you, just all the crazy stuff with Brexit, of course, in the U.S., there's now, you know, threats of annihilation going on in Canada. Does that mess with your head at all, or do you just, like, talk it out?
Well, no, I'm sure, you know, obviously I'm sort of aware of the political machinations, you know, going on in the world, and, you know, I do kind of think about it a lot, really, you know. I mean, in this album, the DVA album, what we've just finished, which is out in February, I think January, February, the physical album will be out. Pre-sales start, I think, in November. This album is really a dystopian sort of science fiction soundtrack to, you know, what's happening to us now, really.
Yeah.
About identity, about simulation, you know, about projections of life, you know, and the isolation of technology and, you know, the acceleration of technology, and so on, you know, and how dependent we are on, you know, all this kind of forms of technological devices that, you know, the heuristics of it all, you know, the input, human input, how it affects us, you know.
Yeah.
So it's got these advantages and disadvantages all the time, you know.
Exactly.
And with science expanding so much, you know, it's like, you know, we've got to be there as well mentally, you know.
Right.
Not just in terms of technology. We've got to understand how we use these things and their effects on society, on psychologically as well.
Right.
You know? So those kind of issues are important. You know?
It is. What are your thoughts on stuff like AI and, you know, the whole direction things tech is going in?
Yeah. My problem is the as long as the human interface is equivalent, or if in fact more, you know, than the thing, you know, itself.
Yeah.
You know, it's keeping that control, and keeping the humanness as well, you know. Yeah, there's room for change, of course. You know, we have to change. We have to change things. You know, we must kind of move forward. We must examine everything, you know, as we move forward. Or we're just repeating things from the past, you know.
Exactly. That makes sense. Yeah.
So we've got to look at it, you know.
Yeah.
More and more. I mean, I don't think we're not going into the mind more. You know, we should be going into the mind more, how the mind works and what it can do, because it can do incredible things, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
We're touching it at the moment, you know, we're just sort of...
Absolutely. Speaking of the mind, I was asking Mark Chameleons last night, I wanted your thoughts as well, kind of a whole other subject, but partly related, just on when this realm, when we're no longer here, when you're gone, you know, finite existence in the body, what do you think happens? Does the mind, consciousness, or whatever?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, this is one of the questions everybody, you know, for generations have asked, you know.
Yeah.
About the continuation, and I think the only thing I can say I know is that the soul, the spirit, is what the person is. That's what we are. We're the spirit, really. The soul, while we're alive, you know, it's that within us, which, you know, we recognize, I guess, and that's what comes through, you know, in music, in art, whatever.
Yeah.
That. You know, that empathy, the imagination, all of that is in the mind, and comes out through art or whatever, really. It comes out in everything, in a way.
Yeah.
So there is a soul, there's a spirit that's energizing us, that's sort of, you know, keeping us going, moving forward, thinking, doing stuff.
Yeah. Do you think it ends at death? Or?
I'm not sure. If it passes on, becomes sort of a consciousness which is everywhere, you know, like a form of you know, energy, a genius, let's say, you know, that exists. I think there's definitely something beyond what we know, for sure, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question. I mean, we're only just sort of finding out now about matter and how it, you know, there's antimatter and there's like dimensions we don't even begin to understand, you know.
Yeah. Exactly.
Which is out there, and so, you know, who's behind this sort of technology? You know, is there something behind it, or is it?
Good feedback there, Gordon.
Or is it some, you know, is it again? You know, it's a difficult question. It's so difficult because there's so many possibilities as well. The imagination is, you know, men, mankind, womankind, whatever, humans are always trying to answer this thing, in one way or another, because it's such a radical end of things, you know, or a change, you know.
Right.
But I think we probably go on in different ways,
Good, I hope so.
I mean, artwork, like, for sure, paintings continue, music continues.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, classical music, even in 100 years' time, you know, will be still relevant, you know, and still emotive, you know. So in that way, we do probably carry on a little bit anyway in the things, you know.
Yeah, exactly, lineage.
Yeah.
Who are you listening to now, if anyone, or are there any new artists that's got your interest? Or?
Well, I was saying to the girl when I was doing the interview, I really listen to a lot of film music, so I'm listening to a lot of different film makers, soundtracks, you know.
Nice.
Werner Herzog. Soundtracks for some of his documentaries and things.
Yeah.
I've been listening to Ernst Rising.
Not familiar with him.
He's done a few for him, and they're brilliant. You know?
Oh, wow.
Nice. It's sort of classical, you know, violin, piano, some electronic sound, vocals, you know. But they're really nice. It's sort of totally different to what, you know. So, you know, I like to listen to music.
Yeah.
That's, you know, outside of
spiritual
music,
jazz,
you know, I still listen to Dolphy, Coltrane, you know, Miles Davis and stuff like that.
buddy. I could speak with you on and on.
Yeah,
you could. It's great meeting you here. Any final thoughts you want to share with our listeners?
We're just going to go really doing the new material tonight. So it's a kind of test run for us in a live context. So, I mean, the tracks are quite, I mean, they're a couple of years old now. So, you know, some are more recent, some are older. But it's taken a while, you know, to get it all recorded down and finally finished. I'm really pleased with it.
Looking forward to hearing it. It's a real pleasure, and I appreciate your time.
Okay. Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you.